Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Texas rancher Jay O'Brien joining us right after this.
Think we'll get to go to the game tomorrow, Dad?
Depends. We need at least half the day to herd these cattle through the chute and deworm them, then the fence needs fixing, and that tractor.
Let's save half a day and switch our regular range cubes with Safeguard Cattle Dewormer cubes.
Yeah?
Yeah. The cattle eat the Safeguard, and Safeguard kills the worms. Brown stomach worm, Cuperia, all the worms other products could leave behind. In one feeding, too.
So how do you know all this?
It's the information age, Dad. I got it on my smartphone, see?
Huh. Looks like Safeguard will give us a few extra hours in the day.
Maybe Safeguard scores me the keys to drive to the game, huh?
So that's your plan. Okay, smart guy. Drive to the store for those Safeguard cubes first, then we'll see about the game.
Think strategically. Act decisively. Talk to your local animal health provider or veterinarian about Safeguard Cattle Dewormer from Merck Animal Health today. Or visit safeguardcattle.com. Always read and follow label directions.
Both hands on the wheel, 10 and 2.
The National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum putting on a series of symposiums, Surviving the Elements, a look at land and water issues in the Great American West. Week number one, looking back to history. Can we learn from history was the question. Can ranchers learn from history? And Jay O'Brien, a rancher from the Texas Panhandle, said emphatically, yes.
You were trying to answer a question, a pretty interesting question, I think, as far as should ranchers pay attention to history?
Right. That was what my assignment was, and absolutely we should. There's so much to learn from history, and unfortunately humans are not good at learning from history. We all like to be optimists, and we all like to think that everything's going to be okay. And sometimes we reach out a little far in our optimism and assume things that aren't necessarily true.
At the heart of your presentation today, you really talked a great deal about stocking rates and how that is one of the key, or not, if it's not the, you know, the ultimate thing that ranchers have got to pay attention to.
Ron, you know, as ranchers, we only have one real asset, and that's the grass. And so we have to take care of that grass so that we can produce this high-quality product, this beef, from the renewable resource of grass. And if we don't take care of it, then we will not be able to do as good of a job of producing beef.
You indicated that, and you talked a great deal about some of the work that's been done by the Society of Range Management and others of the comparison of various grazing systems. Tell me about that.
Right. What the research has shown, and there's a article done that compiles 47 different studies that were done from a period of 2 years to 25 years. What they showed is that there's no advantage to plant health, no advantage to stocking capacity of rotational grazing systems as opposed to continuous grazing. The secret is to know the capacity of your land and not exceed it. So these people that come in and promise that you'd increase the grazing capacity by 50%, they're doing you a real disservice, because there's no way, other than irrigation, there's no way to increase that grazing capacity and still take care of the land.
So when we're talking about a dry land situation, you showed a slide of mob grazing as one of the examples. These type of systems simply are not any better.
They're not any better at all. In fact, if they're not properly administered, they can be worse. And I think they were in the same stocking rate. I think 10 out of 26 of the comparisons showed that continuous grazing is actually better as far as beef production than rotational grazing. So it's really dangerous to do some of these rotational grazing. Plus, they cost a lot more in capital and a lot more in labor. Now, I'm not saying don't rotate, because there are reasons to lay out pastures. There's reasons to do things like that. I'm saying don't think the system's going to give you something that the land cannot give you.
When it comes to the land, and the last few years, we've been suffering a lot of dry weather, a lot of drought. Your part of the world, western Oklahoma, up into some portions of Kansas, our friends in New Mexico, we've really seen a loss of carrying capacity.
There has been a loss of carrying capacity, but this is not unexpected. Drought is a guarantee at some point. I mean, we had a drought in the 1890s. We had droughts in the 30s. We had drought in the 50s. We're just hopefully ending a drought now. We don't know that for sure. But so drought is a fact of life, and we need to manage so that during times of drought that we can destock and that we can continue to care for the land.
What's your plan as far as how are you letting your ranch your plants, your native grasses, how are you allowing them to recover?
Well, what we do is we use about half of our country, of the acres, to run stockers. And so we only run cows on half of the country. And then in 2011, we destocked with all the stockers because they're less expensive to destock. And basically in 2012 and 2013, we did not buy any stockers, and we did not use that land for anything but the cows. But it allowed us to retain our cow herd and actually even expand it just a little bit during the time of stress. Now, we're assuming that we're through the drought. We don't know for sure, but we have bought stockers and we are stocking the country for 2014. Not to the extent that we used to, because it's going to take a while for that country to revive. But we are restocking, and we are planning to go back to a more normal stocking rate.
As far as the herd itself is concerned, you indicated that you were able to hang on basically to your mama cow herd. We saw a real reduction of beef cows, a couple of million head, in fact, in the nationally, and a lot of that came in Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico. How quickly do you think we're going to be able to get back into the more of a normal cow herd or something above that 30 million level?
The cow herd's the smallest it's been since the early 1950s. I mean, that's pretty incredible. Now, we're producing a lot more beef per cow, and it'll depend on rainfall, but it's going to take a while. A cow is 2 years at the absolute best before from birth till it can start producing calves. So that's a pretty strong signal that rebuilding takes a while. I would guess that we're talking about 2016, 2017 before we see an appreciable increase in the amount of beef produced. Part of that's because we'll be keeping back heifers, and that so we will not be feeding those heifers. That will reduce the beef supply. And part of it's just it'll take the land a while to heal up to be able to hold the extra cows.
Well, last question. As far as, you know, when you start thinking about this idea of your ranch, your neighbors, at the end of the day, you're a cattle producer, but you're not really your real crop is forage. And you're marketing it through your cattle, right?
That's correct. I mean, what we're doing is we're taking the renewable resource of grass and turning it into the highest quality protein available. Beef, which has the amino acids, the iron, the zinc, and protein in the tastiest form. And so we're converting this renewable resource to beef, and that's the best use for the grass.
Texas rancher Jay O'Brien, you've got the Beef Buzz on Ron. Neighbors Midwest Farm Shows has been our longest-running sponsor of a daily Farm and Ranch News email. They produce the Tulsa Farm Show each December, have for 20 years, and for many years also the Southern Plains Farm Show in Oklahoma City in April. In 2014, though, it's a new name for the Southern Plains Farm Show, the Oklahoma City Farm Show. Still produced by Midwest Farm Shows, still a great event at State Fair Park, and you can learn more by going to their website at OklahomaCityFarmShow.com.
That's your Beef Buzz. Ron Hayes, Radio Oklahoma Network.